In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord embellishes this miracle with four ceremonies to teach the man and the crowds what he will do. He takes him by himself, puts his finger into his ears, spits and touches his tongue, and looks up to heaven and sighs. These four ceremonies emphasize the word, be opened. They are visible because God himself is visible. Christianity is not a cerebral exercise, but a physical, concrete religion as we enter the presence of an incarnate God to receive healing for soul and body. So the historical markers of Jesus traveling testify to this tangible God who changed the course of our history so that we might have a tangible salvation. We will forever remain soul and body. Therefore, we worship God with souls and body. The actions, which are ceremonies, are meant to confess this. Today we learn what Christ desired to teach us by these four ceremonies he employed when healing this man. First, he takes the man away from the crowd. The friends do not recognize the full extent of Jesus' touch. No man can redeem his brother. The price is never enough. But this is no miracle-working prophet. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who spoke and it came to be, whose life-creating word caused plants to reproduce, animals to bear young, and women to conceive. He alone is Savior, and he calls you to himself. To be holy is to be set apart. God has pulled you out of this fallen world. The sinful ways of the world are left behind. They are deaf to God and cannot speak the truth because they do not know him who is the truth. For Christ came to touch your life, your maladies, your sufferings, your hunger, your thirst, your sadness at the grave, and your exhaustion at the end of the day. This divine substitute has touched every aspect of your life to sanctify and make you holy, to redeem you from your empty way of life. He has touched your sin, your cross, your death, and your grave so that you will never have to. With his blood, he rewrote your story of sin and death to make it a story of resurrection and life. In him you are holy. In him you are set apart from the fallen ways of this world. In him you are not headed toward death, but you are headed toward life. You are pulled out of this wicked world, separated from those who are perishing, so that you might be with Christ. Only he can remove your sin. Only he can restore your health. And so he takes the man away from the crowd, even as he has taken you out of this world. Secondly, he thrusts his fingers into the man's ears. It's grotesque and personal. Jesus doesn't care about your personal space. He reaches out with the finger of God to enter into your body so that you might hear the mighty works God has done for you. Ours was not a physical deafness, but a spiritual. Sin clogged our ears. Satan's lies built up a deafening barrier. We did not know the truth. As the deaf assume this is the way the world is, so the sinner assumes this is the way the world is, my body is, and life is. If only they knew all that God had in store for them. And so he thrusts his finger into your ears through the preaching of his word. Elsewhere, Jesus calls the finger of God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit opens our ears through his word. He always works through the word. The man does not hear when the ceremony is performed, but when the word is spoken. So the Spirit does not grant faith or sustain faith except through his word. And through that word, he comes to unclog the lies of the devil and cut out the deafening falsehoods of our heart, so that we may hear the truth of Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He comes to grant us faith and to sustain that faith. For this is not a work that we can accomplish on our own. It is solely the work of God, the Holy Spirit, whom Christ sends into us. So Jesus sticks his fingers in the man's ear. Thirdly, he spits and touches the man's tongue. Again, this demonstrates what will happen and who will do it. But it's worse than the fingers in the ears. He mixes his spit with the man's. He is not a God who is far away, but he is a God up close and personal. He gets down into the muck and the mire and the sludge and the sewage, for he desires to mix himself with us in a blessed communion so that he might become our sin and we might become sons of God. Is not this water from his mouth the life-giving waters of holy baptism? In that blessed bath, he mingles word and water to set us free from the power of the devil. As a man spoke plainly, so also now we speak the truth plainly. Now lies and falsehoods, heresies and self-idolatries are gone, and we confess him to be our Lord and God and Savior. Now we know who we are, what our purpose for life is, and what this world is. Unless he speaks to us, we can only speak gibberish. You see this when the world tries to speak about Christ. It's nonsense. All plain and clear speech comes from faith. As Scripture says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. So without faith, it is impossible to pray to Christ, to confess Christ. And certainly we cannot come to Christ. So Jesus spits and touches the man's tongue to teach us that he has opened our lips so we might declare his praise. Finally, Jesus looks up to heaven, sighs, and says, Ephatha, be opened. His gaze into heaven teaches that he came to do the will of the Father, and he trusted his Father was with him to carry out that will. His weary sigh reveals his heart. He hurts to see his creatures suffering from the sin they've wrapped around themselves. Sin doesn't hurt him, but it hurts us. It makes your life a mess, ruins your relationships, burdens your mind, impairs your body, and devastates families. It sets country against country, nation against nation, man against woman, and woman against man. It makes us short-sighted. On top of that, it creates a world of suffering. Many troubles come not from a direct sin, but from living in a sinful world. And so we must deal with deafness, muteness, cancer, failing joints, weary bodies, old age, and a host of other diseases. All this leads to our exhaustion. We sigh, and he too sighs. For you are not alone in feeling overwhelmed, burdened, or sad. He's right in front of you to save you, redeem you, and to sanctify you. He won't abandon you, but neither must you abandon him. So recognize how he comes to heal you. Ephatha, be opened. His preaching thrusts the Spirit into your ears. Water united with the Word continues to forgive you. God is not far away, but he comes to bring his cross to bear on you through word and sacrament so that he might bring you into his resurrected glory. For as he breathed out the Holy Spirit on the cross, as he breathed out the Holy Spirit on his disciples on Easter evening, so now through his word he breathes out that same Spirit onto you. Faith is awakened. Faith hears. Faith speaks. So you praise and glorify him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You didn't have to use these ceremonies. But he did, because a physical God came to save his physical people. We do not have to use these ceremonies here, standing, sitting, bowing, kneeling, the sign of the cross, approaching the altar, but we do, to teach ourselves and all who come that a physical God is present here to save his physical people. Yes, he sighs as we drag in our broken bodies and weary souls. But then he enters into our ears once more. He touches our tongue once again, and he sets us free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.